In the name of Jesus, amen. So, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. The Son of God makes you free. And the shape of that freedom is eccentric. A Christian is eccentric, but let me explain what I mean by that word. I am not suggesting that a Christian is odd or peculiar in speech or behavior. I don't want to give you the idea that as a follower of Jesus, you are or should be weird in the way you act or the way you talk, at least not weirder than you already are. I do not think Christians should strive to be idiosyncratic or abnormal. So please don't start dressing in bizarre ways or talking with an affected accent or exaggerating your special quirks. Those are the kind of things we usually mean by the word eccentric, all suggesting that a person is, in technical psychological parlance, half a bubble off level. And in that sense of the word, that sense of being weird or just plain odd, I think the church already has its full quota of eccentric pastors, and we don't need any more. But I am saying that Christians are eccentric in the original, more technical meaning of the word. It means a thing not placed centrally or not having its axis placed centrally. That is a great description of the freedom you have from the Son of God, because you are not at the center of your own story. Jesus has put himself at the center and realigned your axis, and in doing so, he has made you free. With the Apostle Paul, you and I can heave a huge sigh of relief and say, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." You can see, I think, how different this idea of eccentric freedom is from every other concept of freedom in circulation today. When you were a child, when you were a teenager, freedom meant nothing more or less than being able to do whatever you wanted. But of course, that is a childish notion, an egocentric notion. The freedom of the gospel doesn't mean that you have unbridled license to do whatever you want, to indulge every appetite, to follow every impulse. That egocentric notion is very common. We all want to put ourselves back at the center of the story, so your inner child wants what it wants, and it resents anything that keeps you from getting it now. It's easy to think that freedom means giving that inner child the reins and letting it do what it wants. That idea of freedom, freedom with the self at the center, is common, of course, today and always in society and politics too. One way, in fact, of interpreting the Reformation is to see Martin Luther as an early champion of religious freedom, freedom of conscience, and by implication, individual political liberty. It is suggested that there is a long arc of history stretching from Martin Luther nailing theses to the church door all the way to the UN Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Well, that's an interesting idea, but it's not exactly right. Oh, I think there is a good case to be made that many of Martin Luther's ideas have this kind of long-term influence in cultural and political matters, and in general, I'm in favor of freedom as a political idea. But that kind of political freedom with the self at the center was not what the Reformation was about. Brother Martin, the Augustinian friar, was not a classical liberal. And as far as I can tell, he wasn't much interested in human rights. But he did know a thing or two about freedom, Christian freedom, eccentric freedom, the kind our Lord Jesus promises in this gospel today. This is what Luther said. A Christian is a perfectly free lord of all, subject to none. A Christian is a perfectly dutiful servant of all, subject to all. That's the paradoxical thesis of Luther's Freedom of a Christian, volume 31 in the American edition. Go read it if you haven't. The perfect freedom of a Christian consists in being freed from the demands of God's law, freed by simply believing in the Christ who stood in your place and fulfilled everything for you. In him you have everything, and that is the ultimate freedom. To paraphrase Luther a little bit, it is clear then that as a Christian you have all you need in faith, and no need, and you need no works to justify you. And if you have no need of works, you have no need of the law. And if you have no need of the law, then surely you are free from the law. We live in a time when the relationship between Christianity and society is changing, and many of those changes do not seem to favor Christians or the church. And yet, the freedom we are talking about today is not the kind that can be taken away by a godless government or defended by passing the right kind of laws or appointing the right kind of judges. Our Christian freedom does not depend on the results of the next election, and it cannot be eroded or restricted by a hostile culture. Now, I don't want to suggest that your Christian freedom is completely safe from all threats. Real dangers do exist in our days as much as in the days of Martin Luther's Reformation. But listen, Beto O'Rourke's wacky proposal to remove tax exemptions from churches if they oppose gay marriage is not the real threat to our Christian freedom. No, what puts your freedom at risk is the sneaking suspicion that something you do, or maybe something you don't do, makes you pleasing and acceptable to God. Putting yourself back at the center of your story robs you of the freedom promised you by the Son of God. The Son makes you free indeed. Not only free of a guilty conscience because he forgives your sins, but also free of the delusion that there is something about you that attracts God's favor. This isn't about you. You are not at the center of the story. Jesus is. And what's more, the Son of God frees you from the slavery of your own ego so that you can serve the people around you. That's how the eccentric freedom of the Christian plays out in daily life. One more word from Luther. We conclude, therefore, that a Christian lives not in himself or herself, but in Christ and in his neighbor. Otherwise, he's not a Christian. He lives in Christ through faith, in his neighbor through love. By faith, he is caught up beyond himself into God. By love, he descends beneath himself into his neighbor. So stop thinking that freedom is about you. Get over yourself. Believe what God promises, that in Christ you are forgiven, recreated, and given eternal life and everything you need, now and forever. The Son of God makes you free. And your freedom in Christ is eccentric because your little human ego with its long list of needs and wants and appetites is finally bumped out of the center. It is replaced with the God who gives you everything and with those people around you whom God gives you to love and to serve. And if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.